Okay, so good afternoon again. Hope you enjoyed your lunch and had a nice morning. My name is Christian Helle. I work for a company called Commentor. And today I'm gonna present hour and 15 minutes or hour 10 minute talk on Visual Studio tips and tricks. Some of them are specific to 2012, and some can be backtracked all the way to I don't even remember, probably even all the way to 2003. But it's some tricks and some tips and tricks that I've known for a long time, but every time I show it to people, they go like, "Whoa, you can do that?" Apparently. So I have very little slides. Five, actually, three of which I told that they have to be there. Two, to just try the content slides. This is one of the content slides. Agenda. Most of my talk will focus around developer productivity. And I'm going to try to teach you a lot of shortcuts, both on the OS level and on the Visual Studio. So it'll be so I'm purposely configured my mouse to be as ugly and annoying as possible, so I would not want to use it. So I'm going to use the keyboard as much as possible in this talk. And every time I do some magic and something appears on the screen, then I will, of course, say what I just did. If in case I didn't say anything and something moved in the screen, then please remind me about that. Because I sometimes get carried away that things get too fast because they get a little too convenient. And Visual Studio has a lot of shortcuts to make life much, much easier. So the points I'm going to focus on, some tips on using the new Solution Explorer that will be unique to Visual Studio 2012, some editor shortcuts, some those will probably be also applicable 2010 and 2008, some document management shortcuts, some tricks there, some tool window shortcuts, and some debugging tricks. Which the debugging tricks would mostly be I might have to use the mouse for that because there's some areas that there's just no shortcut for. I just haven't figured out how the quickest way to use a keyboard to click on that area. My setup, I have absolutely no plugins yet. I did, of course, before the talks. My normal setup is I have all the plugins that you can possibly install on Visual Studio to make it as slow as possible. And I'm running Windows 8 RTM Enterprise, Visual Studio 2012 RTM Ultimate. I'm using the C# development settings. So it's, yeah, so build for me is F6. I think that is the biggest difference. My English, what do you call this? The layout of the operating system is English, and I'm using a Danish keyboard. So I actually have maybe one or two shortcuts that I only know how to do on a Danish keyboard, which I actually just learned when I moved here. So I have no idea how to do that on a non-Danish keyboard. There are certain signs, shortcuts that actually point to European-specific characters that I don't know what they're called, so I'm going to make up cute names with it, but I'm sure you know what it's really called. Exactly, that's pretty much my slides. We're not going to go to Q&A yet, so we'll go to the desktop. Okay, so first, my first trick. You would see that Visual Studio, I pinned it to my taskbar. Normally, I don't know, if you're used to the mouse, and that's okay to go down there, but I really rarely touch the mouse, and the touchpad on my laptop is terrible, which I never minded because I rarely use the mouse. And what do you call this? So to start Visual Studio, first, I'm going to do some magic. So it started without me using the mouse. I can start like multiple instances of that. Start a bunch of Visual Studios. Still no mouse. The mouse is here. I'm going to hide it. Oh no, you can put it over there. You can still see that it's nice and ugly, hiding away somewhere. I'm going to hide that mouse. Now I'm going to close all my Visual Studio instances. So I use only the keyboard for launching apps. So I think this is actually a Windows 7 feature, but I only learned it in Windows 8. So what you do is that you take the index, one based index, and use the start and press that index number. For example, this one, I'm on the fifth item, so it's start 5. That launches Visual Studio. If you have multiple windows as part of this Visual Studio instance, for example, I undock this and put that there, put that there. So you can toggle the focus. Okay, that's not correct. But if you have some other windows that are modal windows launched from Visual Studio, I'm pretty sure that you could toggle the focus on that. So going back to then, that is so start 5 launches one instance of Visual Studio. It's it toggles it, either it brings it to the foreground or minimizes it. Start shift 5 launches a new instance of Visual Studio. Start control shift 5 launches Visual Studio as admin. And start alt 5 index number launches the that right click option you get with the taskbar. So if I want to close all Visual Studio instances, for example, I clicked too much or my computer was loading and it's a little slow, so I'll click eagerly and launch 10 of them in one go. Then I can just do start alt 5 up, close all windows. I think that's really cool. So let's start a Visual Studio instance again. you'd see the start page. Okay. I have some resolution problems with the projector and the screen in front of me, so I have to scroll up and down every now and then. So if I, by instance, talk about an item that you can't see on the screen, then please remind me on that, because it's probably I have to scroll down. So for this instance, I have to scroll down. So in Visual Studio 2012, you have a lot of color coding. So the time you launch Visual Studio, the bottom bar will be this nice purple color, and that means you're ready to open a project or to create a new project. Once you create a new project, it becomes blue. Once you build, it becomes slightly darker blue. Once it built, it becomes normal blue again. So let's backtrack to that. So when in Visual Studio, when you start it up, you have this nice fancy start page, which a lot of has a lot of how-to videos of things that actually fairly easy to do. But if you're new to the environment, then it would be nice to watch a 3-minute video of how things are done. Some news. It's funny, the RSS feed is there. You still have to click enable, and I never figured out why. That's not working because I took the cable off. I keep on getting Twitter and email and MSN messages. Going back here, and you have per category. You have the normal welcome screen. What's new? This points to all shortcuts. These are shortcuts going to MSDN documentation. So the Windows Phone. What's new in Windows Phone? What's new will be later this afternoon or tomorrow, that the SDK should be out for general availability. Another thing here is that you can set the start page to close automatically once you've loaded your solution or project. You can choose not to show the start page when you open the project. You can add and remove, and you can't add. You have to open a solution. You can remove items from the list, which is very convenient. If you're a consultant, I am, for example, a consultant. I do work for different companies, some of which could be competing companies. Not really a good signal to show that you're going to one customer, and they'll see that when you open Visual Studio, you have the solution of their competing customer, of their competition who wants to take them out of business, and then you're doing the same thing, or you're working for two different companies, which is perfectly okay from your side. Nothing illegal there, but maybe it's something you want to remove. So you can remove that console application 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you do a lot of throwaway projects, you'll be up to console application 26 or 27. Then you can just all delete that folder. So I'm going to create a new project. That is control shift N. So you go to this window. It's going to be a throwaway project, so I'm just going to take the console application. I always start with Visual Studio as empty as possible. So to bring up the Solution Explorer, it's Control-Alt-L, one of the first things I do when I start up a project is that I set the properties of that project and enable native debugging just in case I want to do something fancier later on. You can also change the default namespace. You can do that there. So that is to open. So you open Solution Explorer, Control Alt L. You bring up the properties, Alt Enter. If you want to add items to the to your project, it's Shift Alt C. That's to add a new class. Control Alt A. That's to add a new item. Alt Shift A is to add an existing item. These are all very easy clickable places. God damn it. Going back. but if you have to use your mouse, if you're like me that the Solution Explorer is somewhere hidden, or it's what do you call this? It hides and shows, it auto hides, then you have to right click on the project, click on add, click on new item, existing item or class. Which is too many mouse movements. So if you're a person who has a really, really lazy arm, like I do not want to use energy to move my arm from my laptop to my mouse or just to twist it a little to get to the touchpad, then all these small tricks really come in handy. Now, if you have a large project, the new Solution Explorer, I'm going to dock this. I don't know the keyboard shortcut for docking it, so I'll use the mouse for that. But normally for me, it's always closed. Once I'm done with it, then I'll close it or auto-hide it. So if you're working with I'm not going to create a large solution because that takes too much time. But for example, you have a lot of files open. You can do the Control F4 to close one of them one by one, or you can do Alt WL. It's not a keyboard shortcut. It's actually I'm going to Alt to set focus to the menu. W to open the window. The window submenu, and L is a shortcut for close all documents. If you have, for example, another large solution that you want a lot of documents to be open, the new Solution Explorer has some filtering features. So it's under this filter. So the shortcuts are, of course, written there. So if you want to filter on all open files, it's Control apostrophe O. Then it filters on that. You can, if you're bound to TFS, it'll be Control. If you wanna, what do you call this? Filter by pending changes. Control apostrophe P. Another cool feature is that something you always get from a lot of plugins of Visual Studio, but it's the collapse all windows. In this case, there's one project and one solution. But if you have a more realistic solution with 60, 70 projects, this tiny little button that you don't need to have an extra add-in, I think it's a very cool feature. Yeah, you still have the all files. Sync with active document. I have absolutely no idea what that means. Show all files and preview selected item. So preview selected item. This is default setting. So this means that if you select a file. Just give it focus, and it immediately updates your editor window. Also, if the focus is in the Solution Explorer, and you want to go to the editor window, it's F7. So Control L to go to the Solution Explorer, F7 to go to the editor window. I'm going to auto hide that again. So if you have a file that is not open, and then you select it in Solution Explorer, then you'll get this new fancy tab. That tab will just go away if you're not going to edit this file. Or it's not going to clutter up, I mean. It's not going to clutter up. But once you start editing on it, it'll automatically be part of the tabs to the left. The tabs to the left, you can pin them. So pinning would come in handy if you want to, what do you call this? If you want to close all but pinned, or close all but this. Normally close all but this, that's if you're only working in one file, which you never are. So close all but pinned is a really neat feature. I don't even think this is new to 2012. But this is close all documents. You also have, if you're working on a large screen, it won't make sense in this tiny screen, but you can do, if you're working on, I don't know, the usual, you have the XAML part on the left part and the C# part on the right, then you can right-click on it and open a vertical tab. So this, I think this comes in handy, but this makes no sense on tiny screens. You can also open horizontal tabs. I'm gonna save that. And if you're working on a large class, which you shouldn't be, it shouldn't be that big. But if you're working on sections, for example, you're not entirely sure what code you have on top, but you still want to work on the same file. There's this tiny thing in the right part of your code editor window that you can pull down. So now you can see two parts of the same file in different windows. So that could be the top part, and that could be the bottom part. I think that comes in handy every now and then. We have some, back to the Solution Explorer. You have the new search feature. So the search feature is actually really smart. So it's control plus those two European dots. What is that called? You have that in some Swedish letters and some German letters. Yeah, people tried to tell. Yeah, that's true. That's what it's called. But I don't dare pronounce it. But it's that one. When you can do like that, or that one, the A with the horns. Going back to Solution Explorer, if you do that button, if, for example, I say that class 2, so it'll filter in class 2. But you can also do it on content. So if this has a string called str, very original, it'll also find exactly what you're looking for. So there have been lots of plugins that could do this before, but now the Solution Explorer has finally implemented it. You have this tiny drop-down box that you can access with a mouse that you have that you can set how to search. File contents, this makes perfect sense in managed code, but you have, what call this, maybe if you work with native code and you have these large external header files that you want to also search in, then it can look into that. So if you have it as in your include sections. Okay, back to the Solution Explorer. You have this back button, both in the Solution Explorer and here. So the shortcut for that is control dash. So that goes back into the history of where you were editing. To go forward, it's control shift dash. So if, for example, I write doesn't seem to work as it should, but if if you have but trust me, this works, and it comes really in handy if you jump back and forth between two different files or several different areas in a single file or several files. Another really cool trick in the editor window is that, for example, there's something called the clipboard ring. This has existed since 2003, if not earlier. So this is when you select some items, copy it. Okay, maybe I want to paste this here. Of course, that won't work. That won't build. But here's the thing. I'm copying class 2. Okay, I'm going to copy class 3. Copy class 1. I'm going to make a new file. Remove this. If I do a paste, it pastes the last one. You can do control shift paste. You can circulate. You can go. What do you call this? You can go through your clipboard ring. So first you get the top one, paste the next one. You can paste the next one, and eventually go back to the one that's on top. So this has actually existed for a very long time. But I've met a lot of people who've actually never knew about that. It could be that I'm just really behind, and I'm just like, really, you can do that, or I'm just, or maybe most of you all know all these tricks. But I hope that you come home with at least one new trick that you've learned. If you don't know all. If you know all, you shouldn't even be here. No, I'm kidding. Okay, another trick. If you have a very, very large class, and you're at the end, you want to go all the way back to the beginning. There's a shortcut for that. So you can toggle where you are. So this works in both curly brace, in regions. So this is, I don't even dare say that. It's the A with the angel, the halo. So that's something I learned here when I moved to Denmark. I have no idea what the equivalent of that is in any other, in an English keyboard or a non-Danish keyboard. But I think it's very convenient that you can do that in XML code, in XAML code, in C# code, and you just go from the start to the end of a block. So you can do it in a brace block, in a region block, in a ifdef. So did anyone know that? Yeah, really? So if some people knew that, then that's really cool. That's really cool. And for those who just learned that right now, then at least you learned something new. So what else do we have? There's collapsing code. Normally, you would point the mouse here if you have this large file that you want to collapse everything. You can do one thing. You can go to Edit. I think it's Outlining. Collapse everything to definitions, or you can just say Control M. Another helpful feature. There is what do you call this? The multi-line edit. For example, you have a IX interface 1, IY interface 2, IZ interface 4. And that will be like IX retardedly long name. Retardedly long name. Instance name is X. Instance name is Y. Instance name is K. Normally, maybe it's just me, but I like things being slightly in order. So you can do a multi-line select or multi-line edit by if you use a mouse, you press down the Alt. And then you move your mouse around. Then you can delete that section, that large section of code with multiple lines, or add to it, append to it. If you use a keyboard, then it is Shift Alt Arrow. Shift Alt Arrow. I am generally very lazy with typing. If there wasn't any IntelliSense, then I would have no space as I would have single spaces and my code would look extremely unreadable. I would write everything in the same line and have absolutely no spaces unless the compiler requires it. So one, for example, one thing I do a lot is if I have doing something completely wrong. X. For example, I have some code. I have this habit of, for example, things are not laid out properly when you type them. It's Control E and D to format your entire document. If you only want to format that selected line of code, then it's Control K and F. It's one way to check, the fastest way to check without compiling, if there's something wrong with your code. Visual Studio will not format your code if it won't compile. Which is very wrong because this should not compile. But if you have some more syntactical error, then it's not supposed to work. Snippets, everybody knows snippets. Create a constructor. You just write ctor, tab tab, create some properties, prop, tab tab. Prop git, tab tab. And you bring that up by, I think it is control alt x. No, that's not the one. Insert code snippet is probably control k x. Control k x to bring up their list of code snippets. At some point, you're going to learn a lot of these. For example, if you have unit test projects and you have, I'm only going to talk about the code snippets that are built in Visual Studio. Test C is to create a new test class. Test M is to create a new test method. If to easily execute the tests, it's Control T, Control R, T, and holding down Control R and T will debug. So Control R T to run and Control R and then Control T to debug. What else do we have? If you have a lot of code, you can select it. Control KS to surround it. So you have these options to surround the code with. If you're outside of any method, then you can surround it in a region to make this section more descriptive. If you're executing code that could potentially break, like this. Course, don't do that. Surround it in a try. If you have some section of code that you want to clean up before, but not handle the exception from within, then you have try if. If you want to use the .NET C Sharp 2 keyword for the monitor enter exit, then it's lock. You can also surround code with that, and then you lock on an object, which is normally read-only object, which is usually called sync lock. You have it's quite late. Control comma. Brings you to the Navigate to window. So this is no longer that useful because the Solution Explorer now has the search functionality. But before that, you could do str and then it'll find where str is. If your screen is big enough, or if I remember to do that, then it'll also tell you which file, which line. If you have, for example, an interface, I stuff. Normally, if you're working with interfaces a lot and injecting your interfaces to other classes, then you can do. Then, if you want to check who is implementing the interface, for example, it's you select the interface key. What do you call this? The section of the code, and then Shift F12, and that'll find all find symbols based on what you have highlighted. You can easily navigate using the keyboard through these results by using F8 to go forward, Shift F8 to go backward. It is the same thing if you have if you have code that won't really build, like this. You have this section that says you have some errors. F8 to navigate to the next error, and Shift F8 to go back. Comes in handy. Of course, if you have warnings, it'll also go through your warnings. Some refactoring stuff. If you can, you can actually refactor directly here. You said stuff and more stuff. You get this tiny blue line there. I think there's a name for that, but I never really learned what it is. If you press Control Dot, then you bring down the options of what you can do. You can generate a new type or generate a new class. And if you do it on the interface here, new stuffs. If it's a red line, then you can rename. Rename with the preview, so you get this this preview of changes that will be the changes that will happen. So if you have several files using this interface, it'll all be renamed. Then you can check and uncheck. We'll say apply to that, and then rename it back, with no longer checking what it is I'm doing. If you can select, so you can select some sections of code. For example, I'm very lazy, so I usually start up writing one function. That function grows into something bigger, but I still try to, to make parts of this function make sense. So I could just later on extract sections of this function into methods, new method. So you do that by selecting code and then Control R M. Some tool windows. You know, when you have, for example, in Visual Studio 2012, when you pull out a window out of Visual Studio, for example, this file here. Oh yeah, by the way, this annoying arrow-like thing that tells you where you want to dock it. If you hold down Control, it goes away. That's something a lot of people don't know. So now I can actually dock it to another window. So now you see my Visual Studio down in the taskbar. It says I have two instances. So before, if you pull out a window to another screen, once you start working on Visual Studio, both windows get focused. Now it's a almost completely independent window that you can pull out of Visual Studio. Another neat thing is that if you have, like I said, like a large solution with different projects, you can right-click on either a project or project items or a solution folder and say New Solution Explorer. So in this case, for example, I'm going to bring out class 1 to 6. Okay, I can't do that. But for example, I have more project. I can select a project, say New Solution Explorer view. Now I have another Solution Explorer that I can dock into this new view. So now you have like a mini Visual Studio. So I think that's another tiny neat trick. But normally, if you have a large project or a large solution, then you would divide it into several solutions and have them run in several instances of Visual Studio, because there's no point in having a lot of other projects build in something that you're not really going to use. It just slows down your productivity. So I'm not going to close that. I'm not going to do that. Oh, another thing. If you pull something out, okay, this is a bad example. If you, for example, the errors list, you accidentally pull it out. If you press Control and double click on it, it goes back to where it was. So if you have something like that, pull out the intermediate window. Control double click on that window, then goes back. Control double click on that, then it returns back to where you last dragged it out to. The immediate window, my favorite part. You can actually execute code directly on that. Of course, your code has to compile. So let's go to my project and delete everything that's not working anyway. So now you have now you can test things directly in the immediate window. You can create objects here, and this object will remain in memory. So if, for example, you can select quick watch. For example, in code you can select an item or in the immediate window, highlight that, and then Shift F9.
Really? Okay. Good spot. No.
Okay, so I must have done something to my Visual Studio. But the normal shortcut for the quick watch window is Shift F9. If I can find it. Okay, it's apparently my Visual Studio is no longer running. So I am going to. Now I know why. Not Shift F9, not a command. Okay, but anyway, if that would work, then that would bring the quick watch window up. Now I know why. Yeah, but I set them all to use the Danish keyboard. A nice spot, by the way, because that is a very common mistake. Let's try this. Okay, so what happened was that I didn't really start a debugger. So how I started the debugger, I did something called run to cursor. So if you, for example, select somewhere in the code and say control F10, then it'll execute the debugger and automatically break on where the cursor was. From here, you can do Then the quick watch window works. So it's Shift F9. So back to the immediate window. So now I created something called test, and that is already in memory. So if I do X here, I want to set that to test 2. So you can play around with things that are in memory. Another helpful trick is Control Alt M. The memory windows. So this comes in handy if you're working with streams a lot. For example, you have you're working with two streams that one is encrypted and the other is not encrypted, and then you somehow want to see the progress of each decrypt operation and see how things are getting written. So this I used a lot when I was working with a music app. So we have one section that we're downloading encrypted data, and then the other one that we just have as a test, and then we look at chunk by chunk if we're decrypting everything properly. You can do a lot of other things in the immediate window. Normally, you can right click on it. At some point, it'll be so cluttered. You can go clear all, or I'll just clutter it up again. Okay, now it's completely cluttered. You can do greater than CLS. So I think that's really cool. I play a lot with the immediate window. Other things you can do with the immediate window, you can execute commands. Save as. So instead of opening the command window, you can do it directly from the immediate window. Another thing that that some people don't know, if any of you do a lot of the lower level debugging with WinDBG or Son of Strike, I mean together with Son of Strike or SOS is actually built in Visual Studio, so you can immediately from immediate window do a load SOS, and now you have Son of Strike loaded. So if you wanna do some lower level debugging. Or, for example, I want to find X. X is there. Dump object, that memory. Then you can do a lot of the fancier things that you would otherwise do in a separate instance of WinDBG. This, of course, requires that in your project you have way too many windows open. That you enable the native code debugging. So I'm not gonna go deeper into using SOS because I actually don't know how to use it without a cheat sheet. So I have some very specific uses for it, and every time, especially with passing around events and XAML and what do you call this, with Windows 8, when you view model binding, and every now and then I would make a common mistake that some events gets locked, and that every time you navigate to a page, it adds 80 meg to the memory used. So for things like that, Son of Strike can help you figure out how to fix things. I'm going to go back here again and clear that. So the clearing the immediate window without the mouse, I think that's high value. That's really high value. Visual Studio to me is a wrapper around IntelliSense. So it's that's the product, IntelliSense. Moving on. So what else do we have in store here? Conditional debugging. A lot of people already know that, but for those who don't, for example, you can right click on that and say only break if the condition is fulfilled. If I equals 5, then break. So you see that I, in this case, is 5. You can also execute some code, print out to the output window when a certain or when this debugger, when this breakpoint is hit. So what else do I have? So we've gone through the Solution Explorer search over there. Control Alt L and Control what is that called? The two dots. Umlaut. Okay, two dots. I'll call it. interesting. So you can see that. There's also a lot of there's more refactoring options that you would of course use the mouse for that. There is the any of you guys probably of course use the code definition window. So you can have this docked somewhere down. So whenever you code definition window, keep that docked. Whenever you select a type, it immediately shows the definition of that type. You can do F12 to go to the actual definition. So if you have if you use the symbols, then you might go directly to the code. And Control Dash to go back where you were. Control Shift Dash to go forward again. Control Dash to go back again. Yes. Any questions so far? Are you guys picking up some new tricks? Hopefully. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So I'm learning tricks now. Oh, that's what's funny. No, I did not know that. I did not know that. But you can, for example, you have a condition here, something that will always be true. Or you mean that? Yeah. Yeah. Ah. Yeah. Yeah, I have to be honest, I haven't debugged that much C++, and I think I'm lucky for that. So no, I yes. Ah, that I do not use so much. Okay, so that's my colleague, my very smart colleague who is helping me out. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. Okay, so what? Sorry? I've never tried it. I've never tried it, but it should have, yeah. Yeah. I usually for convenience of debugging, I would never I would never do I would never check on a condition on a method, because I think it's easier to point around that, okay, well, why is that again? That's oh yeah, that's because X was what I got from return from get value, and later on I can see, well, what X is that. But it is more convenient to go to check directly to on the result. Breakpoint management, F9 is to add a breakpoint. And if you're tired of all your breakpoints, or you can enable disable them on the breakpoints window, you go to that by control D and B. Oh. And you remove them all by control shift F9. I'm almost out of tricks. That's not good. That's not good. So what else do we have? No. There's on there there is on a third party product that I'm not allowed to mention. But there's a control F12 shortcut in a third party product that I'm not allowed to mention. Otherwise you'll have to shift F12, find the symbol, and usually it's on the top. But yeah, it's very it's you feel naked once you remove all the third party projects or third party add-ons that I'm not allowed to mention. Oh man. I can't believe I ran out of tips. Yeah, we can check some SAML specific ones. The thing is, the reason I'm actually not doing the XAML parts on purpose, because whenever I use XAML, I'm very reliant on this third party add-on that I'm not allowed to mention on laying it out. But okay, here's a trick, or here's something that I do very often. For example, you're working in for different companies, and different companies have their own sort of source control infrastructure. Some use TFS, some use Subversion, some use some other one. And if there's a plugin for Visual Studio, every time you open the solution, you'll have to change. You'll have to go to view the mouse tools, options, go down, project, source control, expand. Oh, not that one. Sorry. Source control, expand that, go to plugin selection. Switch between TFS and SVN, for example. Now we have the quick launch. Control Q, focus there. So now I have tools, options. Okay, I'm just going to write source control. Plugin selection. So now I can change it immediately here. So that's Control Q, and write the item that you're looking for. So the first time you do it, for example, Control Q, it'll be all the way to the bottom because the options are all the way to the bottom. But once you select one, then of course it becomes a recently used feature. Then it directly goes to the top. So it's Control Q, write what you want, up and down. Plugin selection. It's up to that. Then I changed. Control Q, source, plugin selection, TFS again. What do you call this? Ah, no, I remember just another new trick. What was that? Oh yeah. A tiny neat feature in in Visual Studio that a lot of people maybe I'm just not lucky enough to meet the really Visual Studio nerds, but you can actually save the output of the output window. So if focus is in there, you can just Control S and then save whatever you have. So this is helpful when you're trying to diagnose something, build projects, for example. If there's a MS build task that's not entirely necessary that you want to disable, or something is not building for weird reasons, then you can go and set your MS build to output on diagnostics, output diagnostically, and set it to the most set the output to be as verbose as possible. So if I build this, generates a lot of crap, then I can save that crap. It doesn't make sense with this tiny file because it's only one project. But at some point I tried a scenario recently where it builds every now and then. And it was because of some dependency that required a lot of magic. RIA services, for example. So it would sometimes build, and sometimes it won't, and if it doesn't build, you get different error messages, and you don't really know why. And you don't exactly know the order of why things are happening. Or as a newbie to the technology, you have no clue. You can, of course, look deeper into it and learn what happens. But anyway, one thing you can do is set it to build diagnostically, and just compare the two ones with your compare tool of choice. I use a third-party compare tool of choice that I am not allowed to mention. Neat trick. You can, if you have a large project that, for example, has a lot of Windows installers that it builds and takes a long time, you can do something called msbuild my solution file /m. If you don't know that, that means build this multi-core. So you can have a build that might take a ridiculously long time, and you can speed it up by 8 times by just building it multi-core. So you can also do this on the on TFS when you say queue a new build and pass /m as an argument, then it'll also build it multi-core. Of course, if you build it multi-core, it means that your log file is completely non-readable anymore, because things will build in their own special ways, and there'll be just this ID, like a go-to ID, saying that this is running on thread 1, this is running on thread 2, this is running on thread 3, thread 2221, 333, 111234, and so forth. So you can do it that way. And
What else do we have here? Process Explorer code snippets.
Everyone by now should know NuGet, and if you don't know NuGet, then it's something that you should really check out. The extension and updates, the extension manager is still almost as fancy. You have this search over there that you can get with a control E. Oh yeah, okay. Add new references. So before, this used to be a productivity tool or a power tool to Visual Studio. Now the Add New References window has its own search. So if you do Control E and I want to add something weird, speech. Apparently you can't add speech. Speech. Then you just, so it's Control E, and of course Tab, space to check, then Enter. That's a fast way to do it. So if you're in the code window, artistically, okay, want to add references, it's Control Alt L. That goes to the last, okay, that goes to the active item. Then you just find the project. And you can usually do that by, if you have a lot of projects, you just keep clicking, pressing back, and you'll eventually end up in the solution. And then you can easily find the project. Or you can do a control, that weird double dot sign that I don't know. And that goes to the project. And I'm very, very dependent on the keyboard that has that that right click equivalent button. Sorry? Shift FT. What does that do? Cool. Learning stuff. So it's Shift F10 and R. Control E, type whatever obscure thing you want to add, Tab, space, Enter. I don't think it has a... So there are certain power tools that I actually can mention, but I'm not sure if they're available for 2012, but eventually they will be. And there's I think it's productivity power tools or productivity tools, something in that direction for Visual Studio, where you can copy references and say copy all these references and paste it in another project. So that's a convenient way. There is save. No, save the loop now. Yes. With a third project, a third party. not that I know. Not without installing things I'm not supposed to mention. But maybe bother me later, and I'll tell you all these things that I'm not supposed to mention. Yes. Is there an easy way to see all unused dependencies? That was the question. And the answer in Visual Studio is no. But with you can have some add-ons that have all these features. Okay, might as well say. So I don't think Microsoft has any interest in ReSharper at all. Otherwise, they would have purchased it a long time ago. In ReSharper, for example, you have to be very careful with this remove unused dependencies. Because it can only look in your C# code or in your VB code, so you might magically lose something in your XAML code, or in your markup code. So it works to a certain extent. So if I would never, yeah, of course, I actually did this before with high confidence. I think I'll just quickly clean up everything. Builds. Why don't I just commit this? So we can, you guys can try to catch me later, and we can discuss discuss tricks that are not within the scope of the default Visual Studio settings. But there are there are a lot. I think there's something. I'll name a few that are free, for example, or free for a certain time.
this one, for example, VX code. I'm offline. So there's something called code map, I think. VX code map. I'll just click that. So anyway, it's a really cool add-in where you have a new window where you have the layout of your file. So you can easily navigate to the methods or the fields that you have, and you can from within that window over there, you can surround it with regions, and you can search through it as well. So this is extremely slow. That's because my network has not been found yet. I knew it. That's my mom. That's why I want to be offline. So this one. So it has this nice layout of windows over there. Can you see? Yeah. So this is one of those tools that that I normally have installed. Another one is, yeah, of course, that one. But you'd be surprised of the really cool things that you would find in the extension manager. Yes. Yeah. Question was: is there a way to change the default file locations when you add a new GET reference? I've never tried, I wouldn't think so. So if you take it from the NuGet package repository, the NuGet itself, then I don't think so. Maybe if you configure your own private NuGet repository, maybe there's a way. But I've never bothered. The samples are also a really cool thing to browse around. But you're better off downloading this, what do you call this? The sample browser. I think that this is written by, it's called All-in-One Code. And it's like a collection of samples. And most of the samples here are actually extremely helpful. So I think it's the, it's a support team. When I look at the names, they're all Chinese. But just give it time and we'll all be Chinese eventually. No racism intended. Yeah. So I would actually love to show more tricks on, for example, ReSharper, but I uninstalled it for this talk. No. Question was. Can you do a multi-core build in Visual Studio? To a certain extent, I think there's this options in the what do you call this? Build and run, maximum number of parallel builds. But it doesn't do exactly what you would expect. So it still behaves like it's building in what do you call this? In a single thread. This is probably more applicable to native projects, but I've never seen it. It defaults to the number of cores plus the number of threads that you have. So in Intel i7s, and it's always 8. A useful thing is to track active item in Solution Explorer, so that you easily know. For example, you're editing a file. Then when you do Control Alt L, then you know exactly what file you're editing. Yeah, view diagram. New solutions scope to this. Take that out. Oh wait. That goes there. That goes there. And that goes there. Yeah. That's So I've gone through my cheat sheet of tricks that I was afraid I would forget some. And now I'm out of tricks, so if we can, maybe we can just go to a Q&A. So we have this nice Q&A slide that I'm supposed to show. Any questions? Or any tips for me? Yes, sir. Yeah. So the question was, or the gentleman was inquiring that I mentioned the XAML cheat sheet. I mentioned the XAML cheat sheet, but the tools that I know for XAML are I don't think the Visual Studio tooling is good enough for XAML. So it's I rely completely on this third party product that I'm not supposed to mention. But you can talk to me later, and I can show you how to, for example, IntelliSense on data model view binding or data view model data binding. So you can do IntelliSense of that, or you could do generate property on your bounded view model. I can't answer that. Yeah, it is. Any more questions? So I'm just gonna put this screen up because it's I tried to scan this, and when I went all the way to the back, I couldn't really scan this, and I think Microsoft would really appreciate if you guys could evaluate this session. So I'm just gonna keep this screen up, and then we can do a Q&A until we run out of time. There's 5 minutes more for Q&A. So can I ask you guys to raise your hands if you learned anything new? Ah, oh, cool. If you did not learn anything new, please leave the room. Now I'm fire away with the questions, and I'll see what I can answer. Yeah, the question was that the product sheet or claim that there will be jQuery IntelliSense. I think I've also tried that, and you only get it to a certain extent. You might want to install. Have you tried installing Web Essentials? So you have that aids up a little more. You have JavaScript IntelliSense, especially in Metro. Then it's really cool. But with I've seen that it's like the few times that I had to do C++, I think the IntelliSense is also sometimes it works, and it generates this large 10 megabyte file in the folder that. But Web Essentials should help a little. More questions. How many of you guys are actually using Visual Studio 2012? That's cool. And Windows 8? You're all on Windows 8 now? Oh, not yet. You'll eventually be. Might as well get used to it as soon as possible. Hurts less in the long run. Yeah. Yes, if there aren't any more questions, then I would like to thank you for attending, and I hope it was worth your time, and that you can soon apply the tricks you knew.